Okay, the topic tonight is God's perfect plan for marriage. God has a perfect plan for marriage. Did you know that? He has a perfect plan for marriage. Before we get into that, I'd just like for you to I'd like to draw your attention just a bit here. Our text tonight, the title is God's Perfect Plan for Marriage, and it said, underneath it says, He brought me to the banqueting house. I'd like to read a couple verses in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. God's banner over us is love. Now, I'd like for us to think a bit about this as we are together this weekend. What do you think of when you think of a banquet? Food?
Group of people together.
Group of people together.
Good time.
Beautiful decorations. Yeah, the list can go on. But you know what? I hope we have that experience here this weekend. Food? I'm not talking about Penn Valley. Well, they'll take good care of us. I'm not even worried about that. They'll feed us well. But I'm talking about spiritual food, people around us, decorations, and the beauty of marriage. I hope that's our experience as we're together. We're here to celebrate marriage. Can I ask one of the young men to bring me a water up here or something, please? We're here to celebrate marriage. Who made you? Who made your spouse? Who designed marriage? Who came up with this idea that marriage is for life? We know the answer, right? God did. And God knew what He was doing. And we want to invite Him into our presence this weekend. I believe His banner over us is love. Just like we see this banner here. God is looking on us with love. And He cares about every couple that is here tonight. Psalm 60, verse 4, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Psalm 60, verse 4, thank you. Song of Solomon 6, verse 4, Thou art beautiful, O love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Job 1, verse 10, Hast Thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. God's banner over us is love. I have some acronyms here. Love. Listen. Observe. Value. Embrace. What is love? Is it this fuzzy feeling within us? The dictionary says it's an intense feeling of deep affection. Love is a strong word, easy to spell, difficult to define, impossible to live without. It is an amazing gift from God. Love, living out various emotions. The feeling of love can make you do some crazy things, things you said you would never do, things you never dreamed were possible. Love trumps every other feeling. Hungry but in love, suddenly food isn't important. Tired but with the one you love, who needs sleep? Love pushes its way into the heart and takes the wheel. Drives all other feelings and actions. Love is truly a powerful thing. In the pursuit of wars, in the pursuit of it, wars are started and kingdoms fall. Love is the ultimate pursuit of the human heart, and that is why we all want it so badly, that getting it and keeping it can make us do some pretty unbelievable things. To love and be loved is one of the most important things in our lives, but it also can be one of the most dangerous. When you love someone, you become vulnerable. Vulnerable to rejection and pain, and vulnerable to doing things that you one day will regret. Love can mess with a person. It can control you, consume you, and obsess you. It can get your heart racing and your hormones raging, and in the end, love can leave you with nothing but a broken heart and a guilty conscience. Love is living our values every day. So how do we learn to love the way we were made to love? How do we protect our heart? How do we attain true purity? What is love? No one can define it. It's something so great, only God could design it. Yes, love is beyond what man can define, for love is immortal and God's gift divine. The Bible says, God is love. How many here can define God? I was hoping no hands go up. We all understand. And you know, the more I think about love, I think love is just like that. It's a God thing. But God has put that in every human being, in every human heart. As small children, they understand that connection of love as a very small child. God has put it there. God's perfect plan for marriage. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse 21 of chapter 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. God has a perfect plan for marriage. And we find it right here. God created marriage. God created male and female in Genesis 1, verse 27. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. We were created in the image of God. Okay? God's perfect plan is that two people become one. God's perfect plan for marriage. I have 5 points here, but we're only going to talk about the 2 points. But I'd like to throw these other points out as well. Number one, God's plan for marriage is to reflect his image. Number two, God's plan for marriage is to raise godly children. Number three, God's plan for marriage is to establish and build his kingdom. And number four, God's plan for marriage is companionship. These in red is what we're going to dwell on just a bit more. And God's plan for marriage is for married couples to make a new family unit. Now we could have a message on each one of these, but we can't cover everything on a weekend like this. So we're going to dwell on these first two. I'd like to start with God's plan for marriage is to reflect his image. God's plan for marriage. In Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over what he had created. And then 27 says, and so he created man and woman in his image. We see his image is in the plurality, the unity of marriage. God said, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking about? Our. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And then he says he made man and woman let's make them in our image. And then he says we are to become one flesh in Genesis 2. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. They are one. And yet still individual persons. When a couple gets married, they are meant to demonstrate this, I believe. Two individual people coming together and they become one flesh. For the rest of their lives, while maintaining their individuality. In the Trinity, Jesus the Son submits in all things to God the Father. Jesus and the Holy Spirit submit to all things to God and the Father. John 17:22 says, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. There is perfect submission in the Godhead. In the same way, when God made man and woman in his image, there was meant to be order in the relationship. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." God's protection plan. God made the husband and wife relationship to mirror the Godhead, I believe, specifically in the area of authority. Ephesians 5:24 calls for the wives to submit to their husbands in everything. The wife submits to the husband. The husband loves his wife. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." That's how we are supposed to love our wife. Give up ourselves. Give our life. Ephesians 5:25 gives us a picture of what the husband's love should look like. It should reflect Christ's love for the church. How did Christ love the church? He died for the church. He gave his life for the church. His own blood he gave for the church. He sacrificed. When the world looks at a Christian marriage, they should see a husband who makes daily sacrifices for his wife and actively leads the home spiritually and leads the family to a Bible-preaching church and leads the family to a devotional time and serves his wife and edifies her with words. He sacrifices to please her and to build her up. The wife honors him as her head and submits to him in everything. This is a redemptive picture of the gospel, I believe. God's protection plan. God's plan for marriage is companionship. Companionship is a feeling of fellowship or friendship, enjoying of spending time together, feeling a sense of closeness, being with another person. Companions are there for you when you need them. True love in marriage is a partnership and a companionship. Eve was created to be a companion for Adam. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." In marriage, a man and a woman are to become intimately united in body, purpose, thoughts, and goals. One flesh. Companionship is so important that we do things together as a couple. And enjoy doing things together as a couple. Find out what you enjoy doing. My wife and I enjoy traveling. We do a lot of traveling. But I think sometimes she gets tired of traveling with me. But she does very well in going with me. And I enjoy having her with me. So one day I was supposed to go to Florida on a business deal, which I was not looking forward to at all. I was planning to go by myself. I didn't even ask her to go with me because I just knew she didn't want to go. one of the girls, one we were talking about me going, and one of the girls said, "Mom, why don't you go with Dad?" And my heart just leaped. It's like, yes! And she said, "Should I?" "Yeah, we'll take care of things." And so she went with me. Oh, that was a memorable trip. Yeah, there was business involved that was not that pleasant, but my wife was right there. Meant the world to me. Companionship is important for men as well, for ladies as well, but I think I'll just throw this out for you ladies. Do things with your husband as much as you can. We love when you do things with us. Genesis 2, it says, God looked at man and he said, "It's not good that he's alone. I will make him a helper." And so he made a woman. Companions need to love and respect each other. Ephesians 5:33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." You know, I just love how simple God wrote these passages in Scripture. How easy is this to figure this out? It says, love your wife as you love yourself. What do you do for yourself? You take care of your body. If it hurts, what do? You do something about it. We all understand this language. Take care of your wife like you would take care of your own body. Love your wife even as himself, and the wife see that she remembers her husband. Husbands, love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things." So how do we love our wife? How do we love our wife? I'll let you figure that out as a couple tonight. Respect. So how do you respect your husband? The Bible says here that the wife is to give reverence to her husband. But it says the husband is to love his wife. Do you know how many times the Bible says the wife is supposed to love her husband? How many times? 1 time. And that's filial love. It's where the younger or the elder are teaching the younger to love their husbands. But then on the flip side, the Bible says that the wife is to reverence her husband. In 1 Peter, calling him Lord, even as Sarah obeyed and called him Lord. There is a respect that is to come from the wife. You know, I find it interesting that what God writes in His Word is generally what we struggle with. Now, when I first got married, the preacher that preached our wedding message said, "Marion," he said, "I know this doesn't make any sense to you right now, but you love your wife. And you love your wife." I mean, I was like, "Are you crazy? Of course I love her." But you that have been married for 40 years, or 35 years, or no, 5 years, 2 years, 1 year. There's a time, yes, I'm going to love because I've made this commitment. Love is not a feeling, it's... Yes, it is. But it's a lot more than that. It's a commitment. And so then God instructs the ladies to respect their husband. How do you respect your husband? I'll let you figure that out tonight as well. Well, I do have a handout in your folder that will give you some excuse me, some items of discussion to try to figure this out. But I believe that God's way, the Bible way, does work. And it is the perfect way for a perfect marriage. If she would respect me, then I could love her. And if he would just love me, then I could respect him. Is that how it works? I see a couple of heads shaking. If you wait for that to happen, this is going to be your marriage. A crazy cycle, and you'll never get to enjoy your married life. I will love her regardless if she respects me, and I will respect him even if it feels like he doesn't love me. Did you notice I said even if it feels like he doesn't love me? That is the rewarded cycle, I believe. When God can step in and do his work in a relationship. As long as I wait till my wife can respect me, there will not be healing in a relationship. And as long as she waits to respect me until I love her, there will be no healing in the relationship. The energizing cycle. I think this is, I like to look at this as God's perfect design plan. The more I love, the more she respects. The more I love, the more she respects. And it just keeps going and going, and we keep feeding each other. Isn't that how love works? We give. Receive, we give, it just keeps going. Who designed love? Marion and Marlene? I don't think so. No. It was God. God designed love. He knew what he was doing when he did all this. I trust you are all in that energizing cycle and just energizing each other. Respect is earned. Honesty is appreciated. Trust is gained. Loyalty is returned. Respect is earned. Honesty appreciated. Trust is gained. And loyalty is returned. The ideal marriage is achieved when both partners being focused on each other more than anything or anyone else. That's true companionship. An ideal marriage is one where there is more serenity than love. There is more respect than love. There is more need to be with each other than love. What I mean is the biggest need is to be with the other partner. Companionship. And in that, love will flow. Love is the fringe benefit. Choose not to hurt that one person whom you have chosen to live with for the rest of your life. Your love should be so genuine for your partner that he or she would die for it. Can't live without it. That is bliss. Adore him. Admire him. Cuddle him. Bite him. And pinch him. Adore her. Admire her. Cuddle her. Kiss her. Gently pinch her. As husband and wife, the intention of marriage should be to help one another, to support each other spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and to be best friends and to share everything. Be best friends and share everything. You know, one of the biggest enemies in a marriage relationship is when there is a secret in the relationship. A secret that needs to be known. Best friends share everything. Meeting the needs of your spouse is the golden key to a fulfilled marriage. We need to become a student of our spouse and learn to meet each other's needs. God's plan for marriage is two becoming one, is that we are better together, and the peddling goes easier when we're together. Let's remember the attitude that is just how I am will not take us to perfection. We are together to make each other better for the kingdom of God. Getting married is easy, is it? Some of you that just got married, it is pretty easy. Staying married is more difficult. Staying happily married for a lifetime should rank among the fine arts. But you know, when God is in our relationship, we can experience just that. Being happily married for a lifetime and enjoy each other. I believe with all of my heart that marriage is a lot like the Christian life. When you first became a Christian, life changed. But you know, the longer you're a Christian, or this is how it should work, a true Christian, the closer you become to your Father. And I believe God intended that marriage, the longer we're married, the closer we come to each other and to our Heavenly Father, and the better life we experience. You know, when I first got married, for you young married, there's a couple here that just got married. When I first got married, I thought life couldn't get any better. I mean, how could it? But it did. It does. But that's God. That's how He does things. Same way when we were first a Christian. It was like the world looked different. We were just so free. But it gets better than that yet. Amazing God. May we worship God this weekend.